Thank you very much. Now we want to get to into the Word of God, and I'm trusting the Lord that the Lord is going to do a mighty work in people's lives. We want to go to a scripture that we opened the very first day as well, that is Isaiah 56 and verse 7. The book of Isaiah 56 verse 7, where the Bible says, "All these will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called the house of prayer." The other versions say, "for all nations." Okay? For all peoples, for all nations. Now, this is what we have been talking about, and we were gleaning from the life of David, where in Acts chapter 15 verse 16, the Bible says, "I will come and rebuild the tabernacle of David." I get so excited when you talk about a 72-hour prayer where somebody takes a portion of the time to pray. Now, listen to me and hear me good. There are things that my prayer as an individual can do, but there are certain things that my prayer as an individual cannot do. Because the Bible says, one can chase 1,000, but 2, 10,000. You see the geometric progression there. One only can, you know, chase 1,000, but 2, instead of chasing 2,000, you know, it grows and it becomes 10,000. So, which means there is a place of corporate prayer which does so much. Okay? So, when the house of God is called the house of prayer, it says, "I will call them to my holy mountain." And this holy mountain is the house of prayer. Okay? So, why is the prophet Isaiah speaking like that? That the holy mountain is the house of prayer. The house of God, which is the house of prayer. Remember Jesus spoke about this when he drove people and he was giving them shambles out of the temple because they had turned the house of God to a house of thieves and robbers, and they were busy exchanging money and selling pigeons and all stuff. They had turned the purpose of the house of God away from what God had meant it to be. So what we are saying is, it's called the holy mountain, which means there is a place for corporate prayer where God begins to cause our prayers together to come to a place where we have become like a mountain. And the mountain speaks of steadfastness. The mountain speaks of, you know, covering territory. The mountain speaks of, you know, something that is established. So there is a place where God wants to use our prayers together to affect the nations of the world. For South Africa, listen to me, South Africa, it's not in the hands of politicians, if you understand what we are talking about. The politicians are doing what they want because we are giving them the ground to do that. Hello? The Bible talks of a journey that Paul was on. He had told the people that we cannot embark on this voyage because there is going to be a storm. And they could not listen to him. And they continued on the journey. And then they were in a place where for 14 days it was complete darkness, and they were in the midst of a storm in the middle of the sea. And there was darkness all over. Are you listening to me? And they realized now, if they had listened to this prophet of God, to this man, apostle of God, things would have turned out differently. But now they are in the midst of the sea. And they are deciding to throw away the passengers, the prisoners. And Paul is one of the prisoners. So if we are not careful, the politicians are going to throw us out under the bus. And it will be our responsibility. So what happens? The Bible says, Paul stood up in the midst of them. And he says, be cheerful now, because the angel of the Lord whom I serve appeared to me in the evening. And he told me that no life is going to be lost, but we are going to lose the ship. What has happened? The angel of the Lord appeared to Paul. He is not the master. He is not the one leading the voyage. He is just a prisoner. But all of a sudden, the whole destiny of the ship and everyone's life is put in Paul's hands. He is going to determine the outcome. How is he going to determine the outcome? Because in the evening, he stood with the angel of the Lord. And what does it speak of, standing with the angel of the Lord? That was his moments of prayer. As he was engaging God. Obviously, he was engaging God. Are we going to perish? Are we going to die in this storm? And then the angel of the Lord appeared to him. God responded to him by sending his angel, so that his angel can bring a message of hope. The angel of South Africa wants men and women who are talking to God on a daily basis, who are entreating the heavens for the sake of this nation, so that the angel can begin to communicate the heart of the Father to such a people. You think God is not going to do anything about this nation? Do you really think so? That God is going to be silent? And you think God is silent? I don't want to believe that. God is seeing everything that is happening in this nation. He's seeing all the corruptions that the politicians are doing in this nation. He's seeing all the chaos that are happening in this nation. And the Bible says, I sought for a man who can stand in the gap, and I found none. I sought for a man who can stand in the gap, and I found none, so that I would spare the nation. Is God going to count on you? Because he says, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. What is God doing? God is waiting for a house of prayer that begins to dictate, that begins to order the direction that the nation must go on. Has it happened in the Bible before? Yes, it has. After Jezebel had attached himself to Ahab and started causing a lot of confusion with the whole system of Baal worship and Baal prophets that stood up in the nation, and God had a prophet prophet called Elijah. And there are other prophets who are silent in caves. Like today, I know there are prophets who are silent in caves because of fear. And the Lord spoke to Elijah and he said, go and confront Ahab. Go and confront the Jezebel spirit. Go and confront. And Elijah went and he says, it is not going to rain for 3.5 years until I say so. And the heavens were shut and there was no rain. And the Bible says in the letter of St. James that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man of like passions. And he prayed and he did shut the heavens. Where are the Elijahs of God today who are going to determine the course of the nation? Ahab is not in charge because Ahab cannot cause rain to come down. He has no solution. It's time the church arise to the call of God. Like Elijah. There were other prophets who were hiding in the mountain. And I want to believe Elijah, even when God spoke to him to go and face Ahab, he went in fear. He was afraid because Ahab had Jezebel. And Jezebel was against every prophet of God. And there are systems in places of worship where the devil begins to come against the prophetic voices. And God is arising because the spirit of Elijah is on the earth today. Are you listening to me? When Jezebel rises, God raises a standard against him because the spirit of Elijah rises up. And 3.5 years went by and there was no rain. Hallelujah. I'm giving you an example that somebody can make a difference in the course that this nation is taking. We can reorder the direction that South Africa is going. We cannot do that by memory. We are good at murmuring and complaining. Look at how the politicians are messing up the country. Look at how things are happening. Look at how things are happening. Look at how the rand is falling. Look at how these things are going on. Listen to me. God does not respond to murmuring. God responds to prayer. And after 3.5 years, God sends back Elijah. And he calls Ahab and the whole of Israel. You know, even when he spoke in the first instance before a demonstration of the power of God, he asked the people, if God is God, then worship him. If Baal is then God, then worship him. And the Bible says there was silence among the people. Why were the people silent? Because the level of unbelief was too much. They were silent. And he says, okay, let's come to a duel. Bring the prophets of Baal. And they went upon the mountain. Bring the prophets of Baal. And the prophets came. And they, you know, and he says, I give you the first chance. You call on your God. And they started calling on their God from morning. They called their God. And Elijah started mocking them. You must call harder because he's gone for lunch. You must go harder. Your God is asleep now. You must wake him up. And the whole thing went. And just about when the sun is about to set, Elijah says, okay, let's make an altar. He makes an altar. And he says, bring a bull. He takes the of sacrifice. And he put that one there. And he says, okay, let us make the situation even more complicated. If your situation is becoming too much complicated, get ready for a breakthrough. He says, pour water on the altar. And they poured water. And he says, come on, go ahead, pour more water. Make it even more complicated. Pour water. And they filled the whole thing with water. And Elijah called the God of Israel, the true God. He called upon the name of the Lord, and the fire of the Lord came and wiped out the water and the whole burnt sacrifice, and everybody fell on their face and started worshiping the God of Elijah. Are you listening to me? He took a stance. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. That means the nations are shaped by a praying church. Hello? Are we together, people of God? But one thing I want to tell you, when Elijah was doing this, he was doing all this because the Lord had spoken to him according to the word that the Lord had given him. Many a times it's not happening because we are not waiting on God to receive the word. I just want to try and give you a definition of prayer. The place of prayer is not a place of just making requests. Okay? Because most of us think when it's prayer time, it's time to make requests. No, the place of prayer, the word prayer literally means to judge something at its root. What are we saying? Because the devil has got an agenda for the nation of South Africa. And God has an agenda for the nation of South Africa. So what must happen? The devil is using all these other kind of things. He is using Islam. He is using all these other things to block the move of God. Are you listening to me? He's using all those kind of things. He is using drugs to take people off the purpose of God. He is using all kind of stuff, things that are happening, marriages that are breaking up. Are you listening to me? Children that are disobedient, that are doing every kind of thing they want to do. And the devil is using that. And when you look at it, you think we have lost it completely. But God has an agenda. Because he says, it shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will see visions. Young men will see visions. And, you know, the old people will dream dreams. Are you listening to me? And upon my men servants and my maiden servants will I pour out my spirit. We have a promise that God wants to pour out of his spirit. So, servants, what are we going to do? We are going to go to God and say, what is your purpose in this time? We are going to get hold of the promise of God that he is going to pour out of his spirit upon our nations. He is going to pour out of his spirit upon our sons and daughters. And we are going to get that, and we are going to go before God. And we are saying, no, we cannot do that. We cannot allow the devil to touch our nations, our children. So what happens? We go before God. we see what God is doing. And then we take that and then we begin to pray. Are we together? Hebrews 7, verse 25. We want to read that. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. We want to read that scripture together. This is where all our prayers must come up from. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost. Okay, this is the Amplified Version, right? Completely, perfectly, finally, and for all time and eternity. This is how God is able to save. This is how Jesus is able to save. For those who come to God through him, since he is always living to make petition to God and intercede with him and to intervene for them. Jesus is making intercessions for South Africa. He's making intercessions for Zimbabwe. He's making intercessions for Africa. Are you listening to me? The Bible is saying he ever liveth. Which means this is his purpose at the right hand of the Father. That's his business. And the Bible says he is doing that until his feet, which is the church, has put the enemy under our feet. So, what is true intercession? True intercession is being attached to the present intercessions of Jesus. Hello? Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, one who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. If you are joined to the Lord, you are one spirit with the Lord. Which means what is happening in Jesus can begin to resonate and to vibrate, and to you can have the frequency of the Lord. As he intercedes in the presence of the Father, we can get in touch with his intercessions, and we can begin to pray as Jesus is praying. And the Bible says he has given us the Holy Spirit to help us. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Bible says, who can know what is in the heart, inside the man's heart, except the spirit of the man? And who knows the heart of God, except the spirit of God? Yes, he searches the deep things of God and reveals them to us. In John chapter 16, verse 18, he says, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will show you all things. He will show you truth. He will guide you into truth, into all truth. So what happens? Holy Spirit begins to communicate and to show us what are the prayers of Jesus. But our problem is we don't even listen to Jesus. Intercessors come and they've got their list already of the things that they want to pray for. They have a list already and they are telling Jesus. When you meet this afternoon, we must be pressing, my brother, to hear what is Jesus praying for South Africa. Because he ever liveth to make intercessions for us at the right hand of God the Father. What are his prayers? What is Jesus saying to the Father concerning South Africa? What is Jesus praying concerning Africa? People are already passing judgment on the nation of South Africa. Huh? I saw what America said about South Africa, because South Africa took the side of supporting Israel, the Palestinians. Huh? Were you president, the nation of South Africa? That man is deciding for everyone. They sued Israel, took Israel to court. And when that happened, what did the church do? You are in the house of God. Just look at, there is a document that the Americans gave out concerning how they are going to deal with South Africa. But then, we need that American document, and we need to write down the prayers of Jesus concerning South Africa. And we approach the courts of heaven and begin to take our stand. And silence every voice that is speaking negative concerning our nation. Because his house is the house of prayer for all nations, for the nation. What happens in the nation is what the church is praying. But the church cannot pray its prayers. The church must act with the prayers of Jesus. What Jesus is saying before the Father concerning the nation, that is what we must pray. And it would go down even to your family. What is Jesus saying about your family? That must be your prayer for the family. Are we together, people of God? This is where we find ourselves at, because things are happening so fast. I know we have cancelled what is happening at ZCCC with this, but those guys are not stopping. We pray one day and we lose steam, but they are going. They are still making sacrifices. They are still doing stuff, and they are still doing stuff. Through the grace of God, I had the privilege to go to Thailand, not as a tourist, but to go and train people. Are you listening to me? We went, and every evening of the 7 days that there was a conference going on in Thailand, every single one of those evenings, they assigned them to me so that I can begin to teach people about the Holy Spirit and lead them in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. One lady from, what is this nation in South America, ended up renaming those evenings as Pentecost Reloaded. Because God was moving in those meetings. After that, we had a time to go and visit the places that had been ravaged by this storm. What did they call it? The tsunami. And when we went there, the one outstanding thing that we saw was a church that remained standing when everything else was destroyed. And I got excited, and everybody, it's a testimony of the faithfulness of God, that everything around has been destroyed, but a church building remains standing. And how did it happen? Huh? The house of prayer, that church was a house of prayer for the nation. If you stop to think that Rahab's house, the Bible says, was on the walls of Jericho. This is where it was, its location. It was on the walls of Jericho. This is why the spies would want to deal from that house, because it was easy to get away. Because this house was on the walls of Jericho. And what happened? When Joshua and Israel went around Jericho for 7 times and the walls came down, but that house remained. Where was it situated? The walls upon which this house was built fell, and this house remained standing. Because they had put a scarlet cloth which represented the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something very serious. I was talking to them. Church, if we are not going to be serious, most of our African leaders are demon possessed. And they can come up with policies that will greatly disadvantage the people of God. We really have to pray and put our houses, our farms, our business under the blood of Jesus. And we need to make sure that this place is a part and parcel of the house of prayer. Prayer must be coming out from these places. Ask me and I know. I come from Zimbabwe, at least you didn't know. Where there was confusion, when the politicians allowed people to get into farms. Years ago. But today the same politicians are driving the people out of the farms. But there was chaos. There was confusion. And how do we fortify ourselves against this? The Bible says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and they are safe. It's high time we begin to make prayer altars in our homes. Let our homes have prayer altars where we pray as a family, where we all gather to pray and pray and pray and pray. Let's hear what the Lord is saying. What happens here, Dr. Kheri, affects me because we have a mandate together. The Lord has brought us together for a purpose. And what begins to happen when these guys are affected, I'm also affected. Because we have got the same umbilical cord, God has bound us together. So we need to awaken and begin to take prayer seriously. Some of you are not even waking up. I worked in Blower. And we started having church. And we were having church. So there was one young man called Manza. He's Ndebele speaking. Now when you get to Blower, he knows most of the people in senior managerial positions are Shona speaking. So they is tribalism. They in those days they wouldn't want Ndebele guys to come and work. They would try to give the Shona people jobs in these companies. So we are preaching and this young man gets saved and he's part of the church. He's looking for a job. Hello? And he comes and says, hey, man of God, I must go and look at, I heard that this company is taking people. I want to go there. But I'm told the manager there is Shona, and he will not take me for a job. And I said, okay, let's pray, and you go. We prayed, he went there. Now, because Manza is tall, he says, can I have your IDs? And these guys are giving him his ID, their IDs. So, he's taking an ID, he checks the name. If you are Shona, he says, get in. If you are Ndebele, he gives you back the ID and stays, remain there. Manza is tall, he gives him his ID. This guy takes the ID without checking, he puts it in the pocket. So in other words, when he calls everybody, that if you don't have your ID and I have it, you must come in. So Manza, because his ID is with the man, gets in. Because I don't know whatever, he put the ID in the pocket. So Manza has got a job, he goes in, he goes to his boss and he says, these are the guys that are coming for casual labor. And the boss takes the IDs. And he's listening as the names are, you know. He takes out this one and he says, Manza Enkosi Ndlovu. And he says, how did this guy come in? Are you listening to me? And that was it. And he worked his 6 months. And then the contract goes out. And he is again, they are taking again casual labors. And he says, I want to go. And I said, the same God who made a way for you will make a way for you. Manza was taller than everybody. As this guy is by the gate and he's looking at Manza, and he says, this time I won't even ask him for his ID. One of the guys, the bosses, he comes and he says, hey guys, my car just had a puncture. I need some people to go and assist me. And he picks Manza and some few guys and he goes and they fix the car. And straight away from fixing the car, he drives them right into the company. They got the job. And then he's cross and angry with this young man. And then his boss says, those that have come for 2 times plus, we are going to get them permanently. And Manda has been there twice. So he gets the job permanently against the wishes of the men that wanted to segregate against him. And here you are listening to me and saying, where is it going? You know the tenders that have been awarded to some people and you have not been given a tender because of the color of your skin. But I'm telling you that our God makes a way where there is no way. It takes prayer to break all these bondages. You need to understand what Jesus is doing right now. He lives to intercede for us. Hallelujah. Are we together, people? Are you going to pray? Are you going to listen to Jesus and hear what Jesus lays in your heart so you may begin to pray together with Jesus? Hallelujah. Are we together, people of God? I don't know, because this morning, normally I wake up at 3, but today I woke up at 2. And I was sharing with them during our time of prayer in the morning that, look here, I don't know, but God for some reason woke me up and told me there are some people he needs to deliver. in this house. I'm not just talking of deliverance at the surface level. No. I'm talking about deliverance from the roots of the problem. Because there are times when we minister deliverance on the surface level. Like I come, we drive out devils. Most of the times, hear from me, we have had situations of repossessions that have kept coming with some people. They experience victory temporarily. But there are situations where God will give you permanent deliverance. Hello? Not many, but some few who have been crying to God. You are tired about it. Can we just read on Isaiah 61 from verse 1? Isaiah 61 verse 1. I'm about to come to a conclusion. Right. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. You know, Jesus was given a scroll. And he went to this scripture. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed and qualified me to preach the gospel. Can you give me the King James Version, if you have it, please? All right. That is the version that I want. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison doors to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our Lord. Of our God, to comfort all that mourn. But what I like is, he says, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison doors to them that are bound. During Jesus' ministry, if I'm not mistaken, the only guy who came out of a literal prison for the sake of Jesus was Barabbas. Was Barabbas. This was a guy who was in prison. And the people chose him instead of Jesus. I don't read an account in the Bible where Jesus visited a prison. A literal prison, and open the prison doors for the prisoners that were arrested by the Romans or whoever. So which prison is that Jesus came to open? To open the prison doors. Which prison was it that Jesus opened? So I discovered that the devil has got some prisons where he encourages people. And meantime, we are dealing on the surface with deliverance or somebody who is locked in a cage somewhere. So we will pray all we want, but this person will never taste complete deliverance. Because parts of the soul of that person is kept in a prison somewhere. Hallelujah. Are we together, people of God? Are we together? Uh-huh. So we find ourselves in this place. And you have a situation that you have prayed for, and it's not changing. You are a good Christian. You love the Lord. You come to church. You do everything right. But there is a situation that keeps bothering you. Caged somewhere. You pray good. You are in a prison, a spiritual dungeon. And Jesus came to open the prison door. And in that prayer, I saw some people literally coming out of those cages. And we want to enforce the victory of the cross so that you can get your total deliverance. Now, when we pray for deliverance, it's not coming from me. But around 2 a.m., the Lord dealt with me concerning this. Okay? So we are doing something that He did warrant for us to do. Okay? So I just want to pray. And Zeg, I think we would come to a place where I would need to pray with some people, but then we need to release those that need to go. Okay? But those that are, if you know you are candidate for this, I want you to remain. But I just need to pray. Okay. Let us raise our hands as I pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you chose this house to be a house of prayer for the nation. You chose this house to be in the northern gate of this nation. I thank you for your sons and daughters who are saying yes to the call of prayer. Who are saying, yes, we need to unite our voices and pray for Polokwane, and pray for South Africa, and pray for the will of God, even in the coming elections. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, how we pray that the devil will be stopped short in all his activities. May the will of your people prevail come election time. In the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you that as the church unites to pray, Father, you will move on behalf of the church and bring South Africa into her redemptive purpose of God. We thank you for the burden of the Lord over this nation. How you have set this nation, Father, and given this household a mandate, oh Father, to touch the rest of Africa for the glory and the kingdom of God. We thank you that you are raising, Father, those that will intercede, those that will pray. Father, the prayers, the current modern day prayers of intercession of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you and we give you praise. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.